And I was shocked to get to know this because I was born and raised in a Muslim family, and I never had the sense that it had nothing to do with reason.
And then now you get infected. The virus is in
Yeah.
you. And Bill Gates can't
Yes.
get it, and Bill Gates can't get it out.
It is too much evidence. It's
Too
so much
much.
evidence that I believe it is an insult to Islam to try to tackle that within a few minutes.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? I hope you are having a blessed Ramadan. We have an amazing guest for you who went from practicing cultural Islam to actually finding the real deal, the real deen based on evidence and proof. So he went from the cultural version to actually leaving Islam, becoming an atheist, and we see a lot of this going on. So he didn't have a strong foundation until really investigating what's the purpose of life, why am I here? And the proof upon proof, the evidence upon evidence was so overwhelming that he ended up coming back to the deen, and he's here to share his story. He even went above and beyond and got his BA in Islamic studies, and he ended up forming an academy that's helping to educate the Hispanic community, the Spanish community, the Latino community. My next guest is here with us. Don't go anywhere, all the way from Spain. We'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum, my brother Karami. How are you?
Walaikum salam. Very fine. How are you, brother?
Good, good, good. Alhamdulillah. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches, yes.
Buenas noches, mi amigo, hermano. How you doing, hermano?
Everything fine, alhamdulillah.
You, so
Todo genial.
you're in Spain, right?
Yes, I'm in Spain. I'm actually half Spanish. My mother is Spanish, so here I am.
Now you got a very interesting story because many people can relate. Born in a Muslim family, but then you kind of took a turn towards atheism. How did that happen?
Well, it was a process, and even myself, I then had to study my own process to understand it. But I guess it was probably because of the education system, you know. No one comes and tells you you have to be an atheist, but this is a process. You start like absorbing a whole worldview, you know. It is a worldview that you were taught even without you realizing it. So it was little by little until I realized that I did not believe. You know, suddenly I just came to realize that, you know, all religions are the same. You know, God doesn't exist. We have scientific explanations. You know, that's that. You don't realize it, and you have become an atheist by when you are 13. When you are 12 years old, you're an atheist already.
That's how old you were?
Yeah.
That young. So you
Yeah.
attribute a lot of this to the schooling system?
Yeah, the schooling system and the fact that I was actually like a very rational person. And unfortunately, when you grow up in a in sometimes within Muslim families, you don't get to learn the deen as something like based on proof, you know? So you come to learn the religion, you come to learn the traditions of the family, the superstitions of the family, and there comes a time in which you just go to the you just go to high school, you meet a lot of people with their own beliefs and their own superstitions, and no one knows how to justify why you believe what you believe. So at the end, you just lose your faith because actually you are a Muslim because of blind faith. And this is a world in which religion is not a comfort zone anymore. Unless you have a very solid grounding and foundation in your religion, you will lose it. That's guaranteed.
Did you go through any struggle, internal struggle between, because you mentioned there was a blind following just from the beginning, so you didn't really have a good foundation in the deen to begin with, is that correct?
You know, the fact of the matter is that the way I was taught Islam, it was not a bad way, you know, and our parents did whatever they could, but there was no proof, you know. So I just tried hard to believe before becoming an atheist. But I would ask questions, I didn't get any answers, and I just, you know, my best friend was an atheist, so, and actually what he was saying sometimes made more sense. So it was little by little, your iman was lost. And it was actually a while before I started to study Islam, by myself and read the Quran. And that's when everything began to change. And I realized that a lot of things about Islam I didn't even know.
Were you practicing Islam before? You didn't know much, you were saying, but were you in your home? Was there a practice of it? The prayer 5 times a day, the fasting, the zakat, the other things that a Muslim does daily in his life?
Yeah, this is an interesting question because most of Muslim families are very practicing in some things and they don't practice at all in other things. And that was the situation. Like, for example, we were not very strict about the prayer. However, we used to fast. We don't eat pork because we're Muslims. However, other things about Islam, you don't even come to know them. So we were like a practice, like a regular practicing Muslim family with it, with the typical inconsistencies that you will find in many practicing so-called Muslim families.
You mentioned something about a friend, and you there's a hadith, a authentic prophetic statement from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who said that the person is upon the way of his friends.
Yes,
So,
exactly.
and you are just a living testimony to this coming to fruition. We see this a lot, that now you actually started to follow the way of your friend.
Yeah, it was not just one friend, but it was the whole, the system, the people. I didn't have like true Muslim friends. So this was a process, and I just found myself. But it's completely true. This is a completely true statement of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mar'u ala dini khalili. The person will take the friend from his intimate. Actually, the word khalil refers to the intimate friend. Not like someone but someone you let into your private circle. That's
Good,
the one that's got influence.
point. Intimate friends, so somebody who now you share your intimate secrets with, the someone that you're just like, having over, sleep over, whatever the case, really deep connection. Yeah,
True.
that's
Yes.
powerful. Yeah, because now you see a lot of people who will go ahead and take anyone as a friend, and that friend is inviting them to the bar, to the nightclub, and then they have their philosophy, they have their way, they've been also programmed. And now they're passing that along to you. And so you're not well grounded, and then now you get infected. The virus is in you. And Bill Gates can't
Yes.
get it, and Bill Gates can't get it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens usually. You just get infected without even realizing it,
But now you went and you started to research. Talk to us about the next transition. What took you from that state to now you're researching all over again?
Well, I was actually, as I told you, a very rational person. The same reason that took me out of that kind of cultural Islam is the same reason that took me back to real Islam. And I really thank God for that. Because, the first thing I did is I read a translation of the Quran. Well, this is a very long story, obviously, but one of the things that I came to believe is that religion is irrational. I mean, in my atheist worldview, that religion, all religions are the same. This is like the aqidah, like the doctrine of the atheist, the modern atheist. All religions are the same. Religion is not something that you can prove. It's not based on reason. You just need to have blind faith. Now, the first translation that I read of the Quran, it's interesting that it was a bad translation, but I came to know some basic facts. And one of the basic facts that I came to know is that Islam was based on reason. And I was shocked to get to know this because I was born and raised in a Muslim family, and I never had this sense that it had nothing to do with reason. One of the things that struck me is that, when you become an atheist, you feel like you're becoming very rational because now you believe in science, more or less, and
Science
you
and
like.
science, science and aliens.
And, there is like this idea that the universe has its laws and you don't need God to explain them. But the way the Quran integrates your study of the universe and getting to know its creator, to me it was revolutionary. It's like we have these dilemmas that you need to follow science or follow religion blindly. And, you know, the Quran just allowed me to understand that this is a false dilemma that we are taught in this society. So I could learn about the educational system and the modern atheist creed by reading the Quran and realizing that behind all that so-called rationality of the atheist, usually there is actually a lot of irrationality. People tend to believe in false dilemmas, like you need to believe in science or follow science or religion. And the actually, my first reading of the Quran really got me to understand that these are false dilemmas.
Mm-hmm. How much did, in your research, you mentioned that you came across the Dean Show also, and that it had an effect on you? Talk to us about that.
Most definitely. When I began to love Islam, the first translation that I read was pretty bad, but then I read another which was better, and it had some notes about the coherence of the Quran. Because when you read some translations, you get this idea that the Quran is incoherent, right? So I began to love the Quran by reading better translations, and then I started to research on the internet, and of course I came across the Dean Show. Those days, I believe this was like 16 or 17 years ago, maybe. Those days, you were recording some interesting shows with Dr. Bilal Phillips and Abdurrahim Green. And I remember that those had an impact on me, because I even got to know a lot of Muslim preachers through the Dean Show. And that was really inspiring, you know. And it was one of the doors to getting to know a lot of influential Muslims, even to this day. But at that time, it was like a very important part of my process. And I really, really thank God that you have created this platform. And I really believe that you are not aware the quantity of people that you have helped, because I'm here in Spain. Like, you would never imagine that I'm here and my Islam is being saved thanks to many different factors, and one of them, your show.
Alhamdulillah. That's very beautiful to hear that. Tell us, what were some of the proofs now in your research that stood out that had you confirm that, hold on, I got to come back to this way. I got to come back to Islam.
Well, you know, the problem with this question is that it is too much evidence. It's so much evidence that I believe it is an insult to Islam to try to tackle that within a few minutes. But just to give you a short introduction, I'm like a very skeptical person. I need to check things by myself. So I've been reading in internet a lot of things about miracles of the Quran, but I actually took it upon myself to one by one check that they were true. Like, for example, this mathematical miracles that you have some words that are correlated and they appear the same number of times. So I actually counted one by one myself and fact-checked all of them. And I actually counted so many coincidences that it would be absurd, and this is my conclusion, it would be utterly absurd on my part to deny the truth of Islam, to such a point that it would require complete blind faith, if you know what I'm saying. You know, I would really have to be blind in my faith in atheism to deny the origin, the divine origin of the Quran. So I came to know a lot about these mathematical things. And the reason I like maths is because numbers don't lie, okay? When you start counting all these pairs of words, and actually in some cases, words do appear in proportions. Like, for example, if a concept is double important of something else, you will find that it is mentioned double the times, you know? So, like, for example, the fact that some derivatives of the word forgiveness appear twice as the word justice. And every time you find the Quran talking about justice, then it tells you that forgiveness is better, you know, for example. So you will find so many examples of this that it comes a point where you cannot deny it. And it's no wonder that when you reject Islam, the word that the Quran uses is kufr. Kufr doesn't mean disbelief. Kufr actually Can you hear? Can
Yeah,
you hear me?
we hear you.
Kufr actually means that you are exposed to an evidence and you reject it or you cover it. You know, so mathematical. Then also from the idea that the Quran was borrowed from the Bible. Well, it didn't make any sense because when you look at the way the Bible explains the creation of the universe and the way the Quran explains it, it is as if the author of the Quran was constantly cleaning all the information in the Bible, which is scientifically wrong and historically wrong. And I'm not saying this to bash the Bible or anything, because we believe that the Bible is partially from God. But actually, the Quran's thesis that this is a new revelation confirming what came before, but also fixing its mistakes, was much more consistent with the facts that I was checking one by one than the theory that I was sold in school that Muhammad just made up the Quran by copying from the Bible. You know, this is to make a very long story short.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is that the evidence that the Quran is from God is like, it's too overwhelming for me to deny. But this would require a lot of hours of talking about it.
Yeah, people love the simple message of Islam and the pure monotheism, the message of just submitting your will to the creator, not the creation. And then you have in there the moral code, the moral compass for life. And I often challenge people, find me just one thing that's in Islam that's harmful for humanity. But instead, you got a whole system that can you can run humanity, not only your house, your household, or yourself as an individual, but a whole complete blueprint for life. What about the life of the last and final messenger sent to mankind? When you did you go deep into studying his life, and you would look, you would think, you want to find contradictions, you want to see like, okay, is this a fraudster? What's he up to?
Yeah, that's why I was telling you that there are too many evidences from too many separate areas of study that it would be very hard for me to just give you like a short version of it. But this is one of the main things when you study the life of the Prophet Muhammad. First of all, it's very suspicious that a human being before the modern period, his life has been recorded to such an extraordinary detail, okay? And everything like fits with the narrative of the Quran. The narrative of the Quran is that the Prophet is the final messenger. No more messengers coming. So this has to be preserved. And then that's what you find out. The Quran is preserved letter by letter. And the biography of the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, is preserved in such a way that even if it was less preserved, half the quantity of information, for some people, that would be enough.
Yeah.
But the fact that one of the things that surprised me the most about the biography of the Prophet is his sincerity, okay? And I don't think there is a way that you can deny that from a historical perspective. I mean, the fact that when he went to a battle, for example, he didn't ask other people to go to battle. He was the first one in line, you know? The fact that he could have all the riches, all the women that he... whatever he wanted, he would have in life, but he rejected it and he refused that lifestyle, you know, and he just lived to help other people. And the fact, for example, that you will find is that whenever he committed a mistake, he was like very eager to recognize his mistake, you know, like he never pretended to be more than other people, even though we know he was much better than the rest of humanity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is also like the way he behaved with his wives, the fact that he was sleeping and he would ask permission to his wife to go and pray. The fact that, for example, whenever he had a big problem, he would ask his wife for like advice, you know, the whole honesty and how humble he was, you know, like how would you justify that he was constantly running so many risks if he knew he was lying, you know? So again, this is just like me trying to make it short.
Yes.
But this is like a very deep subject, Eddie.
You went also deeper and you actually got a BA in Islamic studies. You didn't just stop there. Your motivation and now your eagerness to learn took you to a whole nother level. And then you also have an academy that you help Spanish-speaking people to learn about Islam, their roots, actually.
Yeah, which is funny, you know, it's funny. But I will tell you something about the roots part. But first of all, when I began to realize that Islam is the truth, I just wanted to talk about it to everyone. You know, even when I was still going out and partying with my friends, I would talk about Islam constantly. And all of my friends and my co-workers, my colleagues, they respect Islam so much, you know, because when they get to hear, I mean, Islam is based on the fitrah, on the human instinct. So actually, the human DNA has Islam in it, okay? That's the one way we could explain it. So I began to talk about Islam, and I realized that one of the proofs that this is in the fitrah is that people usually, if you explain things the right way, it resonates with them, yes. You know? So I said, I need to start study and for example, the Quran, I need to start translating the Quran, explaining the Quran. So I studied Arabic. I got my BA in Islamic studies. Now I'm starting my studies, my advanced studies to become a scholar. That's my dream.
Inshallah.
But once I finished my degree, I created the academy. And in this academy, what I do is I explain the Quran in Spanish. One of the challenges that I had is that many translations were they used words which people don't use in real life. And
thus thou, thee.
Exactly, yeah. In the Spanish version, we also have that problem. And you feel like the Quran is incoherent when you read those translations. So I really started to feel the urge to explain the Quran in a way that people find it relevant to their daily lives. And at the same time, they understand that its coherence is actually part of this miracle. Because there is no way, if this book was revealed or composed throughout a 23 year span, that when you start studying its coherence, it's such an amazing coherence, you know? So that's what I do. I explain the Quran in my academy. I basically explain the Quran in Spanish. I explain its rhetoric, its coherence, and people love it. When you explain things the right way, people love it.
Where could people of the Spanish speaking Latinos, people from who are Spanish, speak the Spanish language, understand, how can they, and they want to learn more about Islam and your academy, how can they hook up with you?
Well, my academy is called Adam Academia. So if they just type www.adam, Adam, like the name, Academia, academia.com, they will find my courses. I also have an introduction to Arabic course there. I also have a Tazkiyatun Nafs, like a purification of the soul course. That is a free course for everyone. And I also have like a 9-week program for spiritual development.
Yeah.
Because I also realize that many Muslims are like very busy with sectarian fights. And sometimes spirituality is like the lost. It's lost. People don't really get into that, your relationship with your creator and that stuff. So that's basically the academy. They will also find me on Instagram. I'm KaramiSQ. And I think that's pretty much where they can find me.
I know you're about to break fast, so we wanted to keep this short. You've been fasting all day. It was a pleasure getting some of your highlights, but inshallah, we can do it again. Maybe sometime after Ramadan, have you back and we can go more deep into your life, your story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
It's been a pleasure for me to be here with you, Brother Eddie. And I'm very, very grateful to God that I finally got to meet you.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you, my brother. Inshallah, we'll do it again sometime.
Thank you, Rahman. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. And that was our brother all the way from Spain. Isn't that amazing? You see what the deen does when you come at it sincerely. When you connect with your creator sincerely and you earnestly, you want to know the truth, you're earnest in your search, you're sincere, and you're asking the creator of the heavens and earth to guide you. And then you take an analytical, a scientific approach. You look at the deen, look at the evidence, Look at the life of the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Look at the Quran. He said it. A very good point. It's insulting, I mean, to Islam. There's just proof upon proof. So it's not one thing. There are just countless evidences upon evidences, and it just that a blind man can see, that a blind woman can see, that a human being can see. But if the heart is dead, you're not going to see it. So awaken the heart. Hopefully, by listening to this, this will soften a person's heart, especially at these times where people are just, I mean, in fear, living in fear, you know, with this whole pandemic, whatever you want to call it going on. You know, a lot of times now you're in the rat race of life and you're not able to think, what's the purpose of life? But now you're locked up in your homes. Think. You're not getting ready for the weekend party, huh? You're not going to the pubs. You're not thinking about that. Hopefully not. You should be thinking now about more serious things. What if it affects me? What if death comes to me? What has life been all about? Has it just been to party and play? Has it just been to chase that job, that career, that business, which is lost now? Was it all about that? Or is there something more to life? And now is your chance to think and reflect. And start with that homework. Ask the creator of the heavens and earth for guidance. Do the research. Look into Islam. Islam simply means to submit your will to the creator of the heavens and earth. And to be morally upright, look into the life of the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who's a brother to Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Noah. They all came with the same message, Islam. Submit your will to the creator of the heavens and earth, not money, not your ideas, or none of these other things. And if you've enjoyed this program, help us reach our goal for this Ramadan. Support the Deen Show. Support our efforts. We're here to help clear the misconceptions, to deliver the purpose of life to the people. And that all costs. So support our efforts. Do your part and get the reward. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. This is the Deen Show.